Our first scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said to him, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
Before we hear our next scripture reading, just a couple of observations. First on the time with children. You know, Jeff, we always got to open one present. And we got to choose the one that was handed to us. And inevitably, it was a toothbrush or pajamas. But we weren't quite as excited as that guy in the video, but we should have been. And the other thing is I just love how the Spirit moves. On Tuesday at our staff meeting, that's when we go over the worship service for the coming Sunday. And Rosemary noticed that two of our hymns that I had chosen were part of the anthem that the choir just sang. And she says, "Oh, well, we need to change it." And I said, "Of course not. Because they just echoed our opening hymn. And that beautiful hymn, Love, Love, you're going to get to sing it at the end of the worship service." Thank you. That was wonderful. Our next reading is basically a continuation of the first one. As we read a passage from Scripture that is, it's one of the best known passages in the New Testament. It's one of those passages that has its own name. And it's called the Magnificat. And it's called the Magnificat because in Latin, the very first word of the reading is a Magnificat. And that is the word for magnified. And it's Mary's response after her visit from the angel Gabriel. So let us listen to these famous words of Scripture. "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the lowliness of God's servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. God's mercy is for those who fear God from generation to generation. God has shown strength with God's arm. God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of God's mercy. According to the promise God made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to God's descendants forever. For the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, and for the Word within us. Thanks be to God. Well, first of all, I just want to say how much I regret having not been here last Sunday for the lessons and carols. It was a beautiful service, and for all of you that participated in it, I thank you. I did watch it on the Facebook Live, not live, the recorded version of it, and everybody did a magnificent job. What a beautiful service. You know, you may have noticed a little pattern during Advent is that we preacher types have names for each Sunday of Advent. The first Sunday of Advent was Apocalyptic Sunday. If you'll remember, that's the Sunday where we just try to contemplate that everything is temporary. Everything is expendable. Everything is mortal, if you will. The second Sunday was John the Baptist Sunday. That's what we call it. John the Baptist Sunday is when we speak of the prophet John and how John proclaimed of the gospel. The same gospel that Isaiah proclaimed and the same gospel that Jesus would proclaim, which is reaching out to the poor and the lonely and the hungry. Now the third Sunday is also John the Baptist Sunday. I think the lectionary designers gave us two John the Baptist Sundays because they knew we had to have lessons and carols somewhere. And then the fourth Sunday of Advent, which is today, is Mary Sunday. This is when we talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. In many ways, Mary may very well be the most important character in the whole Christmas story. Just think about it. If it weren't for Mary, there wouldn't be any Christmas. And her story is dovetailed with another story, the story of Elizabeth. We have these two stories right together, stories of two women who are pregnant. One is an older woman who has been barren. She's been unable to have children. And suddenly she's visited by the Spirit of God, and she is expecting a child. And the other is Mary. She's a young woman. And she unexpectedly becomes pregnant. And we have these two stories where an angel visits both of them to tell them that their wombs will fulfill the ancient promises of God. Promises of peace, hope, love, joy, promises of presence, that God is with us. There's a theological term that I want us to consider this morning, and it is theotokos. Has anybody ever heard of theotokos? I didn't think so. There aren't too many Greek Orthodox folks in our congregation. That's where we hear it the most. Theotokos is a Greek term that means one who gives birth to one who is God. Theotokos. Well, traditionally, that has become Mary's name. Theotokos. And in English, we just simply say, Mother of God. Mary, Mother of God. But we don't say that very often in a Presbyterian church. We usually say, Mary, the Mother of Jesus. Not Mary, the Mother of God, because who would be God's mother? But we know that Mary is the Mother of Jesus. But I want us to take just a little shift into some Greek orthodoxy this morning and entertain the idea that Mary is the Mother of God in this story. She is one who gives birth to one who is God. And it brings a whole new dimension to this story because it raises the question, what if these stories are not only about Mary and Elizabeth, but they're also stories about us? I think that's a question that we always have to ask ourselves about these Bible stories. What's in it about us? Because if it's not about us, it just becomes an ancient story. So what is it about this story that we can appropriate in our lives? South African Archbishop Desmond Tutu has a phrase that he uses very often when he talks about humanity. He says that we are, in our essence, created to be God-bearers. That each and every one of us bears the imprint, the image, if you will, the spirit of God in our lives. We are all God-bearers. And Elizabeth and Mary in these stories then kind of become our guides. Perhaps even the midwife to us, to guide us in how we can be God-bearers in the same way that they are. We can be Theotokos as well. And these stories guide us into this in several ways. This famous proclamation that I read, the Magnificat, it says, my soul magnifies the Lord. Now, the Greek word for soul here is not some ghostly spirit. It is life itself. Life itself. My life magnifies the Spirit of the Lord. We become magnifying glasses, if you will, for the Spirit of God in the world. And as Mary and we magnify God, we discover that the presence of Christ is all around us. But there's a very interesting thing about this presence in our lives. And this is the part of this famous poem that somehow or other we just seem to miss. We kind of skip over it. And it's the part where Mary herself in the Magnificat repeats the very gospel that Isaiah and John the Baptist and ultimately Jesus preach over and over and over again. Did you catch it? It's right in the middle of the Magnificat, and it says, "The proud are scattered, the powerful are brought down, the lowly lifted up, the hungry are fed, and the rich are sent away empty." That, my friends, is the gospel message in a nutshell. The message of the gospel that comes to us from the prophets, from the mother of Jesus, and from Jesus himself is a subversive message. We've lost that. We've lost the very essence of the presence of Christ in the world. And right here on the day before Christmas Eve, the mother of Jesus comes to tell us again. You know, there's a cultural battle going on right now about how to greet people during this time of year. Should I say happy holidays? Should I say Merry Christmas? Should I say both? We need to put Christ back in Christmas. You know, I'm not so sure most people want to put Christ back in Christmas, and I'll tell you why. Because this gospel is what Christ is all about. And if you put Christ back in Christmas, then we have to start paying attention to the less fortunate. We have to start challenging imperial powers that rule our lives. We have to start caring about the underclasses of the world. That's what it means to put Christ back in Christmas. And Isaiah and John the Baptist and Mary and Jesus himself tell us this over and over and over. And isn't it amazing how we just continue to miss the central message of the gospel? So you see, Mary is not so much Mary meek and mild as she is Mary, Mary quite contrary. Because her proclamation in this Magnificat is contrary to the dominant powers that surround her and the dominant powers that surround us in our lives. But you know, there's another piece to this Magnificat. As subversive and as challenging as it is, as revolutionary as it is, there's another piece to it, and that's where Mary really does show us the way. And the way she shows us is kind of meek and mild. the way she shows us is to just allow the Spirit of God to be in our lives. Because you see, we don't have to work at it. Because the Spirit of God is in each and every one of us by the very fact that we are alive. And all we have to do is allow this to happen. And Mary says it this way. She says, let it be. Let it be according to your word. I'm here. Mary says, just relax. Even though we may be filled with tensions, even though we breathe air that is heavy, even though we feel like we may be surrounded by forces that we have no control over, she says, let it be. Let it be. You know, there's a famous song by that name. And I want to tell you something. A few years ago, I realized that that song is actually a modern day Magnificat. It really is. Now, I sort of sprung this on Rosemary this morning, and she's going to help us out. And I want you to help us out too, because we're going to sing together the modern day Magnificat.
Myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. You know this part, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. There will be an answer, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. There will be an answer, let it be. And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Shine until tomorrow, let it be. I wake up to the sound of music. Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. There will be an answer, let it be. Let it be, let it be, Let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be.
You know what? Allowing and letting God be in our lives is fraught with anxiety, doubt, vulnerability, just like all of the human stories in our scriptures, just like the stories of Abraham, David, Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, Jesus. Their lives proclaim the gospel. It's a gospel of life and death that is so real and so common because it's all of our stories. And we are called in our time and our place, not somewhere in the past, not somewhere down the road, but right here, right now, we are called to be Theotokos. Each and every one of us is a bearer of Christ. And that is really what this story of Mary is all about. And for some reason, we get all hung up on the biology of it. When in actuality, it's about being the presence of Christ in the world and allowing God's Spirit to come forth in our lives to be, to let it be who we are created to be. Amen. When you were a kid, did you ever take a magnifying glass and catch the sun's rays in it? What happens when you do that? Makes it more powerful. That sunlight gets concentrated. And you keep it there long enough, it starts a fire. You know, maybe old Mary's trying to tell us something. My soul magnifies the Lord. If we become instruments of the love of God, we just might start a fire. That will burn in our souls. So let's go from this place today and dare. I just watched a Christmas story the other night. I triple dog dare you to be Theotokos. Amen.